begin service this morning. So I don't forget, this is Bread Sunday, and I actually get to get some bread. Thank you, Jesus. I'm the type of reader that I won't read my chapter a day, then I'll read 15 chapters the next day, but I've always been like that. God's Word is good to be read every day, enjoyed, to help us to thrive and to grow spiritually mature. This morning I'd like to give God the praise for Sister Sman, Brother Sman being here this morning. I do believe. God be the glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
He is the God of Calvary. He is the God that heals. He's the God that saves and delivers. And I believe in prayer, and I believe the prayer that was made, God takes note of that. He does. I'm so thankful. This morning also, I can't get away from what happened in Marksville Church, UPC Church, this week about church group going to, I think they were going to Orlando. They had the terrible accident near Gainesville. And my daughter was in Florida. Christy and I were in Florida last week. Brother Wells had gone to Florida. And we've traveled. Thank God for traveling mercies. But this particular trip didn't end that well. And I started reading a little bit about grief. And it came up, someone had written, "Nothing in life can prepare us for a sudden death of a loved one, whether death results in an accident or a sustained illness. It always catches us off guard. Nothing can emotionally prepare us for its arrival. With every loss, there's much grief. We must this week pray for the Marksville Church. Please, for the driver, the truck drivers that lost their lives, the five children, and the church families that have been affected this week by this loss. But I'm thankful to know that the book of Revelation says one day, John the Revelator wrote, he said, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and the God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." One day we won't have to pray these kind of prayers to a God of heaven that hears our prayers. This morning I'd like just to pray for the Marksville Church in this opening beginning of this service. And then our pastor would come back safely with his family also in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you and thank you for your mercies and goodness in traveling, Lord. The families, Lord God, these lives that have been affected, Lord, by this loss, we pray that you keep your hand upon this Marksville Church. Comfort them, give them that pastors these people, the wisdom, the love, and the compassion that he needs to minister to each and every family that's been affected by this loss of life, Lord. We pray that you keep your hand upon each and every one that's traveling in this future, this year, this God. Lord, the traveling mercies would be extended, Lord, to all of us, Lord, as we travel through these roads, Lord, that we never take granted, God, when we leave, that we would pray for the God of heaven protect us in our travels. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. We ask you that you give them comfort, give them peace through this time of loss, Lord, that you help this church in Marksville to minister to these families, Lord. Give the advice, the counsel, the wisdom these men and people and these families need, God, and the comfort that they need in Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plenty. faithful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. I will choose to stay. Blessed be your name.
Yes.
You give and take away. You give and take away. I will choose to stay.
Now revealed in
wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Yours is the kingdom. powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
In my heart that in 2019 God deserves nothing but our best, whatever that is. I've said before, when I've done my all and done my best, all I can do is let God take care of the rest. But I refuse to be defeated in 2019 and let anything tell me that God can't bring me through it, bring me around it or over it in 2019, in Jesus' name. Brother Gary, would you pray?
Yeah. other name that is conquered, no other name. Forever I will praise the name, no other name that can heal us, no other name that can free us, no other name. No other name that's stronger, no other name. Forever I will praise the name. No other name that can heal us, no other name that can free us, no other name. So precious, praise the name.
Using it, there's something wrong with them, because I like it a little bit better. Get my hands free. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to turn to Isaiah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 17. It says, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counteth the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of stammering tongue, and thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our Solomites. Amen. In other words, our festivities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem as a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of those stakes thereof shall ever be removed, and neither shall there any cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be with us, or unto us, a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein there is no galley with oars, neither a galleon ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. And the Lord will save us. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good hand offering this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, in your lovely name, in your lovely name, in your lovely name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you may be seated. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about something that should pertain to all of us. And yet we know so well the ground that I will cover that we ought not to need to be taught or preached out or whatever. But every now and then we just need to be reminded. Amen. We are living in an age that is doing everything that it can to bring us down. As a society, as Christians in particular, and there is something about government that just is not working. Have you ever heard that? Amen. Surely you've never heard that. That was my original idea that I got off of somewhere, amen, and we have really been going through a time that I just think is so out of balance and so critical. Amen. And yet there is to us a government that works. Amen. It works for you. It works for me. It works and wants to be working for everybody. But there we look at ourselves today, and I don't want us to ever lose grasp of the fact that that there is something about our government, this system that God has put us into, that will always work. Amen. Sometimes we deal with a generation that feels like that we have outgrown that day. We've got to search and search and search, and today there are probably more concerns over our young people than ever before. Modern technology has a lot to do with that. Amen. The time where we spend, the things, maybe times that we would meditate, amen, study the Word of God, visit with the sanctuary of the saints of God, amen, to enjoy what the Lord has done for them. And so this time of Isaiah chapter 33, you know, Isaiah is one of those books that has much importance to the Jew as well as to the Christian church. I don't know if there's anyone that would have any more. I'm sure that there are many that would have less, but Isaiah is a very, very special book. Amen. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah because there are 66, like there are 66 books in the Bible. There's 39 chapters that deal with the oppression that Israel is going through, the rejection that they've made toward God. Still, some of the hope will leak out of these writers and Isaiah as he speaks about them. But yet those first 39 books is like we are in that generation that does not know God and finds to understand him. And then it turns right at 40, and it brings to us the ability to now understand that things are going to change. God's word is going to come true. Greater promises are made in greater depth. And so in the midst of this verse that I read, first of all, there is from verse 1 to 9, it is a people that should not be in anguish, but they were. Amen. And they were crying out in themselves because there was a deep disappointment in them. And then yet after the Isaiah spends his time to share these words with us, we break into another channel to where they realize that they're underneath the impending judgment, amen, of on Zion. In other words, the enemy is going to come up and do his very best to totally crush them, bring them down. And I think that we are in a part of a generation today that is all too common. Matter of fact, it is too prominent, amen, because it is exposed to the world today, and it will do its best to taint this great country that we're in, as well as a part of this great Christ body that we dwell in and live in. And so we know that. And then in these last verses I read, it just seems as if that the land is now going to come and understand that there will be a majestic king. Amen. It creates in them a spark. It creates in them just a little bit of hope. Amen. And so when we come to this, there's a few things that are written in the text that I said that could concern us. But when we get to that verse 22, amen, it says, "For the Lord our judge, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, and he will save us." I like that positive response to all those things, these four things, amen, that are out there now to come, amen, and try to save us and reground us, amen, and to know that the Lord is the one that will do that. Nobody else will. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. Most of you or some of you may would know and recognize that verse because it is this one scripture, amen, that our forefathers used to establish this country and write a constitution, amen, that became almost a miracle to the world to think that this country so young could write a message that was so strong. It had more impact upon Britain than Britain's religious content upon them. Amen. It was something that God came to do to show us that, you know, this world needs to be governed. And these men saw that. There was a great influence of the Puritans and other people at the time, amen, that our Constitution was being written. There was a lot of eyes upon us as a nation that whether we would make it or whether we would not, amen. There was a time that Christians were probably thought of. They will never, amen, get over that hump, but they did. They did it because of their Creator. They did it because of their Savior. And so in our system, we know this because in those words comes the form that we will have the ability to have a constitution. First, there would be two legislative bodies, amen, the House of Representatives and the Senate. They would be the law writers. They would be the one that would hand down the rules for this country and how it would function and how it would carry on, and how that elections would take place and things would be done. After that, there is the judicial part of this, that now there is a Supreme Court that is our lawgiver that comes himself. There is an executive branch, which is our president, which represents the king, amen, that would, our forefathers read this verse, and it stood out to them and established the fact that there was something from the Word of God that brought our country together, amen, many, many years ago. And so here we are today. We're looking at something, and if we are not careful, we could very easily push things aside and say, Brother Davis, it just seems as if that we're left without anything. But we are left with everything. If we allow our eyes to slip like these people did of old, amen, and our country has went through things. As a matter of fact, our country has pretty well stayed intact as far as its law and its authorities and things like that until late in the last century. Amen, when they begin to change the laws, when they begin to redirect their thoughts, when they took on new ideas, amen, and yet there is a method behind all of this, of these four things that we need to take in consideration today. God is our judge. The Lord is our judge. It says in that verse, amen. I'm going to read a few verses tonight just to try to establish, amen. I wish you could have seen how many verses came up on these subjects. This is not, should not be a far subject from us. This ought to be almost elementary. You would probably be embarrassed how simple it should be. The devil was afraid of that, you know, that somehow Satan would come and beguile your simplicity, amen, or for your minds from the simplicity that is in Christ, amen. He didn't make it complicated. Let me give you a few verses here, amen, and I think Jay's going to help me. Jay, I think I've got most of the ones I'm going to put up underlined, and because there are just too many, but there's enough in the Bible to totally convince us. What is the judge? That it be far, in Genesis 18:25, from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, amen, and the righteous should be the wicked as far from thee. This is Abraham talking to God. God has already exposed to Abraham the trouble that Lot is in, and so he tells him that if there's 50 people that he would, he would not destroy the city. It is here that Abraham arises and says, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Amen. And that is something we need to live by. We don't have to worry, and we are not intended and created to actually come to God with a great fear to where we think God is going to come against us. But we know, and I've used this in many funerals, because there's a lot of doubt at a funeral. Amen. And people are wondering what's going to happen, especially various situations that are there. Amen. Still, the question has to ring, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. I use that in all kinds of funerals, but a lot of times in people who don't know God, that's waiting, you know, to maybe throw something at God or be disappointed in God or be afraid, amen, that God is going to come against them. But we know that the judge of all the earth is going to do what is right. Even though we might wonder why 5 small children, amen, lost their life, there's something right about it. Amen. It's hard to understand when tragedy happens. Our nature takes its course, amen, and the world just begins to wonder and get angry at God and shake their fist. And though we don't like it, and though we're broken, there's something about God that he will always do what is right. He's the judge that is always right. He cannot be bought down. He cannot be bought with money. Amen. He cannot be influenced by anybody else. Why? Because he's this one that will judge all the earth, and he will judge it right. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand offering. The psalmist tells us that God is the judge. He putteth down one. He setteth up another. Amen. God is involved in our everyday lives. You know, a lot of times we worry, and this is not a political statement. I could go back for however far you wanted to have, amen, that we look at our world today and we see the chaos that it's in, and people don't understand. Actually, I think that Daniel brings this out better, that the Lord is the one that sets it up, and the Lord is the one that brings it down. Amen. I don't believe that Trump was a mistake. Why is that, Brother Davis? Because I believe that verse. Amen. He's the one that God allowed to be there. When Obama was in, I looked for some things, amen, and he was probably not what we would consider the most friendly to the churches, but yet he had characteristics or some things that you looked at the man and somebody would say, well, would you have him come to your house for dinner? By all means. I think it would be fun. Amen. Amen. And he can laugh and put that. But what was it? Was he right for us, Brother Davis? He was right for the age. And God put one down and set another one up. That's what God does as a judge. Amen. And the lawgiver and the things that we will discuss with this morning. Amen. It says in Psalms 50, and I'm just going to read verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. That means that God says there's not one out there. I know he knows there's judges that sit in judgment seats, and they have to do that for this earthly world to exist. But when it comes to God, he knows, amen, that there really is no other judge that belongs in the same game that I am or the ministry that I am. He said, because he is the one that says, I am judge alone or himself. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Timothy tells us, Paul writing in this book, he says, for I am now ready to be offered up, the time of my departure at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only, but to all of them that also love his appearing. You know, there needs to be something working us. You know, this world has to wrap up sometime. He said, Brother Davis, now you're talking insane. I know the world does not really grasp that, but this world is not going to last forever. As a matter of fact, we're almost to the place to where the only cry that might be effective is, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. We need you now, but God knows when we need him. Amen. But there is something about him that lets us know that nobody's going to judge this. Nobody's going to put somebody up, bring somebody down. If it happens, I'm behind it. Amen. Peter writes, and these are just a few different writers that I want to deal with here. Peter in chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. For if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? For if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God, keep or commit the keeping of the souls to him in well-being, amen, as unto a faithful creator. God steps on the scene now and says that judgment and church, and for this reason, I pulled this verse out. I really believe that anything in this world that might be leading to a greater age, an age of revival, an age for a move of God, amen, is the people that would let us know that these things that God has put out there, that if anything's going to turn around, it's going to happen first in the house of God. If it cannot happen in us, you know, I was reading through this history book, and I noticed that at the turn of the 1800s and then the beginning of the 1900s, actually this beginning of the 1700s, amen, it seemed like that every 100 years there became a great evangelist or a great revival that swept across the nation. Sandwich was a part of that beneficiary, amen. Azusa Street was a part of that in the last days when it seems like everything was so far down, revival breaks out. And what happened is people that knew God and knew that they were not right with God and not living the way that they should be living. Amen. That's when God was able to move people to come to repentance. Amen. That affected our town to where grocery stores would stagger their land so that, or their time on their stores so that one store could go to the revival one night and the next store the next night. Taverns totally shut down. And so what we need to do is say, Brother Davis, if this is going to, if I'm going to be a part, amen, of this great revival and a part of this age that we live in and God ordained for us, I want to be that one to where maybe God will judge it than I. And I guarantee you, if you want it and you hunger and you thirst after the things of God, amen, this great judge is going to judge that and let you go. Empowerment, I should say, should come to you, amen, and let you be what you ought to be in the world to come. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Let's stop there. Hallelujah. This is out of sequence with Isaiah 33 and 22, amen, and but yet it all, I'm sure you're going to, I just wanted to do it the way they did it so I knew it wouldn't make a mistake. Judge first. I would have probably put that down toward the end. Amen. Because those were our people that were judicial, and those was like, amen, our Supreme Court and other judges that are out there. The law is, the Lord is our lawgiver. James 11 and 12. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother and speaketh evil of the law and judges the law, but if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law, amen. But thou art not a doer of the law, but you're a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. And who art thou that judgest another? Judgment is not in your business. Amen. It is one of those things that God says and delegates nobody else to become involved in that. I'm the one. I will be the judge, amen, of those things. And I'm going to give you laws, amen, that will help you to abide. Amen. Gilead is mine, he says in Psalm 60 and 7. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is also the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. He says that because it was from the line of the tribe of Judah, amen, that Jesus would come, amen, and become the lawgiver later on. Like it is said in John 11 and 17, for the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 17 and 19 says, did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keep the law. Why go you about to kill me? Amen. Now there's a book of Judges. God was picking up and setting down. Amen. People would live for God for a while and backslide. It is a book of backsliding and returning to God. We cannot play that game. We've got to return to God with our total person. Amen. Give him our mind and our heart and our soul and our spirit and say, God, amen, you're my lawgiver. I'm waiting on you to give me the word, give it the direction. Amen. As Brother Tom spoke about this morning, and to have that desire to know that God needs us, wants us. What a privilege. The greatest king that has ever been. The king that is eternal. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting. He will never falter. He will never fail. Amen. He created the world. He created, amen, a universe that seems to be growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But I want to tell you something. There's an invasion that takes everything it can away from the power of God. Amen. And that is if we do not obey the laws. As you read through your Bible next year, those of you that do that, those of you that do not, amen, we need to look for scriptures that will minister to us. Not just for enjoyment, but God, I want to put myself there. You are my judge. You are my lawgiver. You are my king. You are my savior. I just want you to help me with these things. Why? Because we got to do more than what we're doing. We can look at Washington and say they've got to start doing more than they're doing instead of the squabbling and carrying on. Our country has become dysfunctional. Not because of mankind, but because of mankind's sin. Amen. Their departure, their terrible rates on you know, abortion and various things that come up. Nothing's against the law. I look at that today and I wonder, you know, I don't know why I got saved when I got saved, because really I was bad, but there's a lot of people out today that are being, you know, kind of elevated and lifted up. You know, our Constitution gives us a right as an American citizen, amen, that we have these certain rights to protect us. They're just forever American. But now we've come to the place where we've got to categorize that. Are you a white American, a black American, a smart American, a dumb American? Amen. Are you a, you know, are you a foreigner that's come in? Are you, you know, what? I mean, it goes down the line. the morality that's in that. Are you for abortion, against abortion? Are you, you know, all this gender that's going on now? Are you buying into that? Because we got to protect you. We got to put your name in front of that. You can't harass anybody. But you don't need a name to clarify that. If you're American, you should not be mistreated. Amen. There's a lot of people that are lost. Amen. And we have to, as far as some government is going today, they don't want us witnessing on the job. Any job I was ever on, if somebody asked me a good question, I tried to give them a good answer. Hallelujah. And I usually try to go by the law, not by Bill Davis. The rest of it, thank God. Hallelujah. So he is our lawgiver. He goes on and tells us that the Lord is our king. Psalms 47, 7 and 8. For God is the king of all the earth. He's not just the king at Jerusalem. He's not just the king in South Africa. Amen. He is the king of all the earth. And he's established that. It says, sing praises, amen, with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, and God setteth upon the throne of his holiness. That is one of the items that is greatly diminished and away from us today. You will not find holiness. And I've dealt this, amen, where I work. I ask people all the time, and if they tell me that they were a church, I knew it was holiness. I brought it up one day to a lady. I said, you know what, the Methodists, we kind of came out of them because they were a holiness movement. It says, I remember hearing that in my church years ago. That's why the church has to return back to God. Amen. And come to the house of the Lord and put their lives upon this line, because simple truths that are in the Word of God, the world cannot understand it. Most of our churches in our country today that pose to be Christianity do not understand the scriptures of God's severity as well as God's compassion. Deuteronomy 10, 17, and 18. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, Lord of lords, and a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. In other words, he's a pretty good judge. He doth execute the judgment. That is the executive position, amen, of what God is saying now about our king. He is the one that calls the shots. We got to get it out of the mentality in this world. I'm included with this, I'm sure, as much as anybody, as much as Brother Wells. He sometimes, you know, talks about his transparency, and I think, oh, Lord, you know, I'm worse than that. I really want to be out there. Hallelujah. But he's our king. Amen. He is the one that judges and executes that judgment. He's the one that causes it to happen. Amen. When we will to do the will of God in our lives, God wants to use us. We cannot sit back and stay complacent. We got to make up our mind, Lord, I want to do something to help somebody. Know the truth and come to the truth. Amen. We have spouses that need to be saved. We have children that need to be saved. We have a community that is a great community. Amen. That has a lot of abilities. Amen. If somehow something can melt them by a revival. Amen. And it will probably start in the house of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Timothy writes, in which times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. Only potentate. Nobody else going to do this one. Just like being by himself. There are some things that God can delegate out to some preachers and people that can move into the ministry in certain ways. But when it comes down to the place or some places that God says, this one's mine. He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light that no man can approach unto, and whom no man has seen nor can see, and to whom be honor and power everlasting. In other words, the Lord is saying that you, I want to give immortality. Our world would love if they would only understand, amen, instead of fighting God, to surrender to God. Amen. What is the reward, Brother Davis? Immortality. amen, a resurrection that leads us to life eternal. On the other hand, amen, if we are not moral in our lifestyle, there is something that sends us to a place called hell. There's only two choices that I really, amen, see as far as the kingdom of God is, the kingdom of God, amen, and there is that place that nobody wants to go to, hell. And so God, make our message right and strong. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And these things shall make, and these shall make war with the Lamb. I want to tell you something. He's talking about all the world's armies, all of the world's nations. They're going to come against this one. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome him. For he is the Lord of lords and kings of kings. Amen. And they are within themselves called and chosen and faithful. Amen. And there's a body of people that walk with God. Amen. And I believe that we're headed to this time that we are going to be in this place to where we will either have revival. Amen. And I hope that that revival will just continue. I think that it will and become more dominant, but there will be more wickedness and there are more attacks against it. The whole world would seem to come against us. Amen, and against Israel, amen, and the truth. And I believe that God will give them a great revival also. He says in Revelation 19, 11 through 16, I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon was called faithful and true and righteous. He doth judge and make war. And the righteous that he doth judge and make war. Again, it's he. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His head were many crowns on his head. He had written a name that no man knew but he himself. God will separate himself from all of the powers of this earth. He longs to establish his authority and power. Amen. And a life and an eternity of something victorious and yet something that causes us to rejoice. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, amen, clean and white, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress with the fierceness of his wrath of God, Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the one that will come. Hallelujah. Minister to us and be to us that one that is so faithful. Amen. That God is. Let's give the Lord another good hand offering. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Make sure I cover them all here. The Lord is Lord, the Lord is King. Hallelujah. The Lord will save us. He's got the branches of government all figured out. He got those houses in place. And now we need to understand, and God has so committed himself to these things. Like I said, Brother Davis literally could have come off with maybe 100 verses for every subject that I'm talking about this morning. And I know you wouldn't like that. Amen. And the restaurants wouldn't want you coming in late. But yet we know the Lord is our salvation. It is the Lord that is going to save us. Isaiah 45 and 15. Verily thou art God that hideth himself, O God, our Savior. Isaiah 45:21, tell ye to bring them near, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared from ancient of time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God beside me. Amen. And a Savior there is none beside me. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Amen. It's just Him. We don't have to run after every preacher. We don't need a Benny Hinn and the Pope, amen, or any other religious people on the face of this earth, amen, because when it comes down to the end, it's going to be God doing it all. Hallelujah. We want Him in our church. We want Him in our ministry. Amen. When Mary heard from the angel of the Lord, she responded, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in the God my Savior." Acts chapter 13, 22 through 23. "And when he had removed him, he raised him up to David to be their king, who has given testimony. I found that David, the son of Jesse, is a man after my own heart." He puts his approval upon that. He comes from the ancient times. He's just always been. How do you get older than that? Except he's going to be the one that it will always be. Amen. He is the one that come down and he did all of that. He came to minister to mankind to give us joy unspeakable and full of glory, to fill us full of his presence. Amen. Make us knowledgeable of his word. Amen. To give God his very best. Timothy says, Paul, an apostle of Christ, "The commandment of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our hope." Timothy 2 and 5, or 2, 3 and 5, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." Don't tell me that God wants people to go to hell. They do it on their own accord. They do it because they did not become believers. They do it because they had everything figured out. Amen. They come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and the man is Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go to Titus. Just give you a verse from him. It says in Titus 3, verse 4, "But after the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man has appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, amen, but according to the mercy he saved us, with a washing of regeneration. He comes and makes us clean. He washes our sins away so that we don't have to worry about our past." Amen. Have the luxury of moving on into the future. Amen. Knowing that God is going to regenerate us by the moving and the power of the Holy Ghost. Peter says, "I'm Simon Peter, servant of the apostle Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, amen, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Jude writes, and folks, I want to tell you something. This is one that has well over 100 verses in the scripture. Now you owe me. Jude 1:24 and 25. "Now unto them that is able to keep you from falling." Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I think we worry too much about falling. When there's a him out there. Amen. That's what's to keep us from falling. We're going to feel like we're falling because he's going to be there to keep us from it. "To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Hallelujah. Let's give him some more praise. Lord, in your lovely name, in your lovely name. God, you are our Savior. You are our lawgiver. You are our judge. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How many know Javi Zacharias? Rabbi, that's actually what I got down. Amen. And he was on the news this week for such a wise man. Brother David's not having much sense. To hear him make this statement just totally took me back. And he says, "You've got to understand that God is a they. Not a he." Did you notice one thing not even out there? It was always, every verse I read had something to do with a he. That means there's one. It's personal. It's something that God commits to himself. And when I heard that, I just came back and I think he's a smart man. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking, where did this come from? Because the world is so locked into trying to explain the Trinity, the unexplainable. We know it because virtually there is none. All these attributes, different offices, different directions, but all one God. Isaiah says, in the season that we have gone through, we know so well, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The government shall be on his shoulder. Brother Davis, are you trying to tear down the United States of America? I'd just like to be a part of something that would bring the United States of America to their knees. Amen. That would be the foremost in the thought. Remember when you first found Jesus? Your mind wasn't on everything else in the world. Your mind was on Christ. I don't know how many people that come to this altar and say, Brother Davis, amen, all I want to do is live for God and be faithful. Amen. And if you need anything and if God asks anything, do it. And many of those are you. And there are some of those, amen, that are far away from God. Why? Because they lost their trust in Him. God made it simple. We only have to trust in one. Hallelujah. He will carry this upon His shoulder. You're putting something on your shoulders when you realize it's kind of heavy and I want to pull a little bit so I can walk better. And He puts that load there. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. And the increase of His government there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to the order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There's going to be something that will happen in the last time. I think it will make God even more zealous. As He sees more and more people, and we're talking about 2:19. Amen. Let's just go until the Lord comes. Amen. And come to surrender ourselves to this He. He's our salvation. He's our lawgiver. He's our executive. He's our judge. He's just Jesus. What a man. What a God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Hallelujah.
Behold, He comes. Riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet's call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet's call. Lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill
in our hearts and minds.
Lord, we've been challenged
to hold
these words,
and escape away from us.
Like the sun, Lord, as the trumpet calls, lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. As the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
There's no God.
There's no God like Jehovah.
I like those Marines.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, as the trumpet calls, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
No God like Jehovah.
no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God.
Let's just come down the front. Let's worship together.
There's no God.
Don't get on your knees. Just come and let's worship.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.